Well, I don't know whether you've ever visited another church just as a visitor, and you've gone in and people may say hello to you as you walk in, and then you sit down and you see while others are chatting around you, no one comes to speak to you. And then at the end of the service, you go and get a coffee and you feign interest in the bookstall or the notice board or something like that. Because while everybody else seems to be chatting together, no one seems to want to talk to you. That's perhaps just me, but I don't think it is. Can I say, if that's been your experience here this morning, I apologise. It should not be so. See, in church, and in a church setting, we should be more sensitive to those around us than we are at any other time. But we're not. Very often we're not. We're continuing, as Andrew said, our series through James this morning. We come to this passage from James chapter 2. And we hear a very clear message, don't we? And the very clear message is, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. As believers, we must not show favoritism. It couldn't be clearer, could it? What God is saying to us through James. We are not to show favoritism in any way. And then to make it clear, James goes on to show that he was talking about favoritism in the context of the church setting, in a church meeting. And he describes how a rich person comes in and a poor person, and how they might be treated differently. Now, it seems to us a fairly extreme example, but I think James makes a very, very clear point. And it's one that we, in a very different context, need to hear. Because favoritism, God says, is wrong. Whether it's in the home, whether it's in a school setting, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's on the sports field, and even more so here in church. Favoritism is destructive. It destroys relationships. It destroys people's sense of their own self. The clear word of God to us today, friends, is that we should not show favoritism. I think Andrew used the phrase conscious bias. Sorry, I have no idea what that means, but we shouldn't choose one person over another. And then James gives us some reasons why we shouldn't do that. And the first is that we are not God. I'm sorry to disappoint you. You are not God. We are not God. We are not God. Look at verse 4, if you would, if you've got your Bible there, please. Right, it says this, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? If we exercise discrimination, we are exercising judgment over people. We're being judgmental. We're acting as God, even though we are not God. And indeed, as James points out, we are fallen people. You are evil with evil thoughts. Now, if you think about the illustration that James uses here about the rich man and the poor man, and the looking after the rich man better than the poor man, it gives the impression that actually that what the person was trying to do was to gain something from the rich man. I'll get something from him if I treat him nicely. It's the flawed motive of a fallen person, isn't it? And James is reminding us, we're not God. We're not to judge people. In a previous parish, I remember being in a pub with a friend. And I just went to the bar to get some drinks for me and my friend. And this man turned to me and he said, excuse me. He said, my mate here reckons you're the vicar. You're not, are you? Now, he'd made a judgment on me. He'd looked at me, perhaps in the setting or just whatever I was wearing, I don't know. But he'd made a judgment about what he thought I was or was not. Now, that's a small thing. That judgment didn't matter. But when we make judgments over one person over another, it does. It has a destructive effect on us and upon them. We're not God. We cannot judge people. We should not show favoritism. And if we have done, friends, if you have done that even this morning, then please repent. Please change. The first reason, James says, for us not to show favoritism is because we're not God and we cannot judge. But the second is that our God is a God of mercy. Again, turn to the Bible, verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Isn't that amazing? Here is God's wonderful nature revealed in that God has chosen us to be his children. We didn't choose him. He chose us. When we were poor, that is, when we were cut off from God by our sin and our rebellion, when we had no hope of being reconciled to God, God, in his mercy and grace, chose us. And through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, enabled us to be his children. We didn't deserve it. We're not worthy to be children of God. But in mercy, God ignored our poverty of spirit. God ignored our poverty of love towards him. God ignored our poverty of desire to honor and praise his name. And he chose us to be his children. And as a church, we are a group of God's chosen people. We are a group who are chosen by God's grace and made his people by his mercy. It is all of God. It is all of God. Yes, of course, in faith we respond to that choice of God. But it's what God has done for us. It is God who has offered us grace and mercy. And that means, friends, that you and I are equal. We all need that grace. We all need God's mercy because without it, none of us can be children of God. We're equal. We've all received God's mercy and love. And friends, if you're here this morning or if you're watching online this morning and you haven't yet received that mercy of God, then please do speak with me because God is offering you that mercy even this morning. And if we've all received it, and if we are all equal, then how can we show favoritism? God says, don't show. I'm finding this uncomfortable. As I was preparing it, I found this a very uncomfortable passage because I know my own failings in this area. We've just been on holiday on a cruise boat. I'm going to show you some more holiday photos, I always do. But at different times on that cruise boat, and especially at meal times, you had to make a choice as to who you were going to sit with. And I have to say, I made some very ungodly and unchristian choices on that boat. And in one sense, it's easy to sort of say it and easy to smile about it. But actually, it just shows us how fallen we are. But then last Sunday I came into this building and I wasn't taking part in the service and I had to choose where to sit. We saw some friends and we chose to sit with them. It seemed natural, it seemed easy. But I just wonder, as I reflected on it even while I was doing it, whether that was a sign of favoritism. See, I could have sat with anyone. And because the vast majority of the congregation last Sunday were Christians and therefore God were equal together, I could have chosen anyone. Now, please, I'm not saying we shouldn't sit with our friends. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying we shouldn't sit with people we know. But what I'm trying to point out is that under God, we are all equal through God's mercy and grace, and therefore we do need to be careful in selecting who we sit with and not express a conscious bias as to who we sit with, who we speak to, so that we don't show favoritism and we don't deny that commonality that we have through God's grace and mercy. We are equal, and therefore the way in which we deal with each other, even in a simple thing of who we sit to, who we talk with, should be ruled by that. Friends, James says very clearly, don't show favoritism, because that's making false judgments, but also because God shows mercy to all who will receive it. And third reason is because we are people of the word. Again, look at the passage with me, if you would. Verses 8 and 9. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and you are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Now, last week, Andrew here was reminding us that as followers of Jesus, we're called not merely to listen to the word, but to do what it says. And here we have God's word very specifically to us this morning. God's word, to love your neighbor as yourself. And friends, I reckon that if I ignore one person in order to favor somebody else, I'm actually ignoring the word of God. Now, I do realize that on any given Sunday, I cannot speak to everyone. I cannot sit next to everyone. I can't give time to everyone. I can't pray with everyone. But if there are people who I regularly don't sit next to, don't talk to, don't pray with, then how can I say that I am loving my neighbor as myself? I said earlier I've stood in a number of churches where I'm a stranger and have been ignored. I tell you, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. So how can I do that to somebody else and treat them in a way that I would not want to be treated myself? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the word of God. God's word is challenging us. This whole book of James challenges us in so many ways. And we can, as Andrew mentioned last week, you know, hear the word and just forget it. Or we can look intently into the word of God and allow that word of God to shape us as individuals and as a church. James was writing to these Christians, and he expected them to take very seriously what he was saying. And just the same to us. God expects us to take his word seriously, to allow that word to shape and to mold our lives, to go out from here different because we've heard the word of God. But how do we respond? Well, how we respond, in a sense, is something we can discuss in our home groups if we study this passage together. But let me just quickly suggest a couple of things. And the first is for us as a church. How as a church respond? Do we respond to this? Well, I think this is about how we serve our community. See, I think one of the real dangers for any church is that we become a sort of kind of little club where we know each other, we care for each other, we support each other, but actually in doing that we put up barriers to others outside who are not part of the club, who are not members. And every church needs to ensure that we have our gaze outward, that our main gaze is towards those who are not members of our church, who are those who are in our community around us. We need to be open in every way to everyone, and we need to serve as best we can every part of our society, our town, our community. I mean, it's great that we have food and friendship on a Tuesday. But the danger for us with having that is saying, oh, well, yes, we are caring. We are caring for our community. We are caring for those who are in need. And that's it. Friends, there are many, many needy people with different kinds of needs in our area who we might be able to help. Of course, we cannot do everything, but we can do some things. And perhaps we can do more than we are. And perhaps in doing just this, we're showing a kind of favoritism. We should not be showing favoritism in terms of looking after ourselves in helping those who are like us rather than those who have real needs. And the challenge of these words to us as a church this morning is to ensure that what we're trying to do as best we can is to serve our whole community without fear or without favour. And I'm not just talking about people's physical needs here, because we need to consider the spiritual needs of those around us. Jesus said, didn't he, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Yes, we can help people physically and financially and in those practical ways, but we have a unique thing that we offer. And only we here in our society can help people come to God and find faith in Jesus Christ. We must care. We must care for the physical needs of those around us. But we also need to recognize that our greatest call is to care for them spiritually and point people to Jesus Christ. And as we do that, again, we need to be wary of showing favoritism. I'm very grateful that Andrea Paxton has been willing to take on the role of evangelism coordinator. I know she's already planning to draw together those who are involved in evangelistic activities for men, for women. It's all great that we have our light party coming up where we're looking at reaching out to families. In other words, we need to make sure that as we reach out with the gospel, we're not showing favoritism. We're reaching out to every part of our community so that everyone has that opportunity of hearing the love of God in Jesus Christ. It speaks to us as a church about not showing favoritism in us. Spiritual and in our practical care for those around us. But it also speaks to us as individuals. To you and I this morning, God says very clearly, do not show favoritism. As we think about sharing faith, there is a danger that we show conscious bias in the way we share faith. You've probably been in a situation where you've met somebody and think, oh my goodness, now I don't think they could ever come to faith. And so you perhaps don't invite them to something or you don't pray for them. Nobody's beyond the pale. I don't know how you came to faith, but I am so grateful that one Sunday afternoon, as I was walking through a street in Ealing, two guys came up to me and said, would you like to come to a service in our church garden this evening? Now, I don't know why they came to me. I don't know what made them. But if they hadn't come to me, I wonder whether I'd ever come to faith. And yet we can look at people and say, oh, I don't think they're Christian material. And that's showing a favoritism. That's showing no favoritism. In your prayers for people who come to faith, don't show favoritism. Pray for all you know. But then, as we said, these verses speak about how we respond to people within the setting of the church, of the gathering of God's people. And that's where most often, perhaps unwittingly, we show favoritism by where we sit, who we speak to, who we ignore. I was at football a week ago, another great win for the mighty Kettering Town. And I always stand behind the goal into which we're trying to score. On medical advice, I don't stand behind our defence. We change ends at half time, it's that sort of ground. And I just change ends, and I was talking to some friends, and I could see out the corner of my eye somebody waving madly at me. And I looked around and I saw it was my cousin. I hadn't seen my cousin for well over a year. And I didn't know she was there, and I went and had a chat with her because she's my cousin, because she's family. Not family in the close sense like my son, who I speak to most days, but family. And when we're with family, we don't show bias. When I go to see our daughter with her six children, I usually ignore one of them because he's a bit weird. No, I don't. Of course I don't. And yet it's quite difficult to show six the same amount of time and appreciation. But that's what I try to do. I make every effort to spend significant time with each one of them in a different way. At one meal, I'll sit between two. At the next meal, I'll sit between another two. And the other two are down the end with mum, so I can't get out them. They're safe. But you see what I mean? When I'm with the six children, I consciously seek not to show any favoritism. And in a sense, that's what James is saying to us this morning. When we come together, we should be consciously seeking not to show favoritism, but to live with the family and to work with the family as best we can. Friends, hear the word of God this morning. My brothers and sisters, as believers in our Lord, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we are, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism.